It's the people here who have told me more about Stephenson than I ever knew before. His son, and then the man who was with him, Anderson, he married a woman. She's still living here in the Newby?
I heard her too, but I was very young. You need to meet her for Christmas.
No, I'm a professor at the university in North Carolina. And I'm interested in the North. I'm interested in the way the North is changing. And so I came up to Inuvik, and I want to do these studies. And go back and, I suppose, write a report about what's happening. But whatever you tell me is confidential. I'm not going to use people's names in that report. Well,
you put everything together, I said, we'll make a book out of it. The only thing I heard about Stephenson, you know, was from an Indian, you know. This Indian was telling me, having to be hired by Stephenson, you know. When he got the fall of Christ, he didn't, he wasn't wonderful. And he said, one day he got hired by Stephenson, you know. He said, he's a very, very slow man, he said, this year Indian.
Slow man.
Slow in action, moving.
Oh. You
know, not in the rush of thought. So he said, he told us, and Mr. Stephenson, he says, oh, he says, you wouldn't like me. He says, I'm slow. Too slow. Well, that's the kind of guy I am. So he said, the next day they started out. So we started making a wheel. You know, a wheel. Just one round wheel. You know.
Out of what? Wood?
Oh, wood. When we got through, he said, he got through enough, he got cut the stove, snow shoes, get your life. He had a ride. He said, we started walking to like a Red River, across the portage, he said. The Indians had a portage up that time, across the Red River. And it was 32 lakes, you know. And this had portage, you see, but
yes.
32 lakes, and this old Indian threw them many times. And through that way, you know, we get hired by stuff, so you get to know that man on that go there. Nobody know how many miles, he said. So he said he built some kind of a wheel there. He said, so many turns got one mile. Well, he said, that man is slower than me. He says, about every 2 miles we put our tents. Well, he said, amen. He said, that porridge, he says, 32 miles. He says, 32 miles. And he says, it's after 32 weeks. Beside the porridge, you see. The way they used to have that porridge from
Yeah.
I remember that story. That
you didn't know Stephenson yourself?
No. I heard about it through this old native. But he died in 28.
Stephenson died about 5 years ago. I think. Some 5-6 years ago.
I guess you heard about Ole Anderson too. Ole Anderson.
Ole Anderson was with Stephenson?
Well, I heard the one around that Arctic. Took 3 years to go around, they were together.
Yes.
That's the way I have.
That's the man I was mentioning. Yeah. Now, the woman he married is in the Knubik, isn't she?
That's cool.
Yes.
Owen?
Yes.
No, she died.
Didn't...
She died. His name was Jasper, right?
Yes. Well, isn't Mrs. Andreasen Jasper's widow?
Anderson. Annie Anderson?
Yeah.
Well, I think... Yeah, that's Jasper's widow.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Jasper is Ole's son.
Well, there's Jasper and David. There's Jasper and David when
Ole
married their mother.
I'm wrong. You're right. Yes. They're sons.
They're two brothers from this woman.
Yeah.
I remember Jasper used to tell me about Ole Anderson. Very nice man. He's never been mean to us, and he learns a lot about how people... But I remember the government had called him out after his wife died about what he knew about the Arctic, you know.
Called Ole Anderson out.
I think that's the way I heard it.
What year was that?
Well, I don't remember. That was during the war.
Yeah, well, they wanted all the people who knew anything about the Arctic in Washington at that time.
Yeah. Well, that's... I remember it was during the war. gave it and Jasper everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, well, after left them a big boat schooner and everything. Well, David, he ended up in touch with Jasper. He got strained and over lifting.
Oh, did
he? Didn't last very long. He died. That was early years in
South. Yes. Yeah, she must have learned her English from him, too. Well, I still have a couple of things I want to ask you about children and the school and so on. You say that the school is teaching children, but there aren't always jobs. Do you think that the school now is better or about just the same as it was when you went to school in Hay River or when your boys went to school in McPherson? Mm-hmm. Think there's any difference in the school nowadays?
Oh, yes, I think so. It's a big difference. Because they got a place to sleep and eat.
For the hospital.
Well, everything's more class than yours. It is like, they used to run the school and then run home. They'd run the school and then run home. They'd like it at times and at times they don't like it. At times they go and at times they don't go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it used to be. But now, it seems to me, most Eskimo people, even the young folks, you know, listen to their people better than they did on the Native side, or the Indian side. And they seem to be enjoying their school very much. I don't think it's very many Eskimos that miss compared to Indians.
And you think that the parents forced them to go?
Some of them. They listen, but not all of them. Well, the Indians said most of us were forcing our kids to go. They start off strong and then they don't last very long.
I see.
The same with the Indians compared to the Eskimos. Well, and then you get your check. Well, you might say it's finished. He gets a check, well, we're not supposed to say, well, we'll never see them. Most of us, well, we'll go to the bar, we'll forget everything.
You mean family allowance check?
Well, no.
Wait. Paycheck.
Yeah, that's on this side. Well, while with an Eskimo, he'd go further. He'd wait for another check, maybe another one, and keep working, see? Well, eventually, he'd turn out like that, but it's not too many times. But mostly happens with an Indian, right? He gets a check from him. He goes to the bar and looks at it. But then, you know, when he's starving, he's hungry, and he's got no place for it, he'll get out and work for his check, or rather, not my voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm kidding about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's young people from the person living around here now for 4 or 5 years, just, you know, working here and there and loaf around here and sometime, you know, get in trouble sometime, but they're always away from their people. They don't bring that hardship too much against their people like my parents do.
But do you think that the Eskimo has more to show for it?
Well, I don't think so. Of course, there's more Eskimos in school now than are scattered here and there. Yeah.
But I mean in his home. Does he have more to show in his home? Eskimo homes look to me about the same as Indian homes. Yeah. I haven't been in a lot, though.
Yeah. Well, there's not very much difference, you know, from what is left of them now and what few are working. But well, a lot of the boys and girls who go there over there, it's mostly Eskimos, but they're on the native one. This boy might go to the Duke or go out for a year or that, but then he fall back on his back and he ends up to be a tramp, steeple, stuff like that.
You're talking about native boys?
Indian boys, but not too much for the Eskimos.
So that Indians get in trouble more with the police than Eskimo boys?
Well, they don't hang on to their jobs or their schooling. And eventually they end up, and I think it's mostly Indians that's interfering with the law and the Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
And well, as far as I see here, it's like, well, now you see a lot of the Eskimos, young girls and that, but it's just through somebody else. And eventually it's going to be the worst of it. They're all mixed up. They all turn out to be the same, the way I see.
You mean mixed up through marriage?
No, mixed up. They'd be Indians and Eskimos all mixed up, you know, all in the same mess. Like now they're kind of in the one second yet, but that's the way I see it's going to turn out. Because already they're mixing up quite a bit.
You mean through marriage? No.
Through drinking.
You just mean that they're going to become more like one another and forget that they're Eskimo?
Yeah. Well, it's really through drinking. But when they're not drinking, they don't mix up too much. But then when they're drinking, they mix up and then a whole bunch of them get together. But still not too much, you know. Like if a bunch of Eskimos get drunk, well, it's mostly Eskimos, not too many Indians with them. And it happens sometimes. They're half and half. They're all in there together. But I feel eventually they'll be all mixed up and they'll all go together. And then they'll all be in there.
But there's not too much of it yet.
Not yet.
You mean Indians prefer to drink with Indians and Eskimos prefer to drink with Eskimos?
Yes.
And I suppose that's the way it is too, visiting in the home?
Well, the older people that visit once in a while, but not every day like that. There's not too many older people now, as it is. But the younger people, you take like, say, the lowest size, you know, Glenn's size, well, they go to school together and they get acquainted, well, they run to one another. I don't know. Well, now I see Jacob, Louis Jacob's his daughter, but my daughter's the very friendliest. Well, maybe they've gone through drinking too, like my daughter. They've held them up twice now, Glenn and Helen. Well, Louis Jacobson's daughter was right in there. Well, then, Harry Harrison's daughter gets in there. But sometimes they're in there with that girl, and that girl's in there with them, back and forth. They're mixing up more and more as they do. Well, they're all friends anyway, but then I need them to live.
What do you mean, held them up? Did you say held them up?
No.
I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you, it's all right, isn't it? For Jacobson girl and for your girls to visit one another?
Well, that's what I mean. They're very friendly, you know, as they go. They're friends anyway since that they come to the school. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But then pretty soon, well, they get a hold of a bottle somewhere.
Who? The Jacobsons?
Yeah, my daughters. You see? Well, maybe they don't.
They'll get a hold of it at your daughter's?
Well, I don't know how they get it, but somehow they're in trouble. My daughter's come home drunk twice now.
Now I understand what you mean. Oh, you mean, you don't mean Lois?
No, no, the older ones.
The older ones. No.
One day, they grab a little Clarence Hurton, and he get picked up.
Is he a relative of yours?
Yeah, he's a first cousin. You know. His dad and my dad was brothers. Like Fred Furter, Jim Furter were two brothers, and my mother's first cousins.
And your father?
And Fred Furter, brothers.
And Fred Furth. And Joanna Greenland was Clarence's mother?
Joanna, Fred's wife was Clarence's mother. But Joanna McDonald was the one that adopted this. Clarence.
Oh.
And his mother died.
Wait a minute. Well, you tell me your story, and then I'll come back to this.
Yeah. Well, where did I let you?
You were saying Clarence.
Well, he gets picked up, see, hiding his wife. He doesn't have so my daughter, Glenn, supposed to have stolen a bottle, see. That's the way I heard it. When they all go to court, Glenn and Helen and Jacobson's daughter, they said, we give Clarence $20 bill. In court, see, this is what these little girls will say. And eventually, Clarence didn't give us anything when we come to his house. So he had a 26 there. So pretty soon, Clarence says, here's your bottle. And we said, where's the change? Well, we didn't get the change. We don't know what he meant with the change. And we were supposed to get a 40 ounce. That's the way it came out in court, but anyway they ended up at 25 ounce. And we didn't get the change. So the crimes he lied about. But he says that Glenn stole the bottle, see?
Clarence told the judge that Glenn stole the 26 ounce.
Well, what happened was the New Yorkers gave him the money, see? They wanted to drink it, see? I don't know how they got the money, but anyway, they gave Clarence the money to go to the liquor store. Well, he got somebody else to get this thing, this here Clarence, see? And these New Yorkers waited, and finally they got him in. But all this, Clarence was drunk, and his wife was cutting the eye and all that. And so Glenn, he just went and walks right in, and asks him, where's that bottle, where's our change? So he says, here, get out. Well, then he turns around and just told Mr. Holman that Glenn stole the bottle. Well, that's the way it come up, see? So then my family is in there, just in the jail or something. They haven't done it. So she told the truth. He told the judge what they, how they started and all that.
Glenn did, yeah. Told the truth.
You should get one day's attention, but next time he's out for you again, you better behave yourself. Well, that's okay. You don't behave yourself, you so. And Ellen, she got back drunk 3 times. And then she'd be yapping, you know. Well, I don't know where she get it. I don't ask her where she get it, but they got lots of friends, you know, and I don't know how they get it, but anyway, they get it.
She's only she's 18.
She's 18. Well, you know yourself, a lot of boys might be around, and well, maybe she'd get a picture of
yeah.
Yeah, I think the school is way, way better than it used to be. It's very clean, and it's, you know, they get them to learn how to be clean. Lawyers, it's very, very much all around. Like in my days, we're not too clean, you know. Might wash it and that, but not too clean, you know. Until we get, as older we get, we seem to learn more.
I hear that the children take showers, even if they come from town, they take showers in the school, and that some parents don't like it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them, you know, they go to the laundry. There's showers there for them too.
The kids.
They pay 25 cents. For older people too. 25 cents for a shower. Well, a lot of them they like that business, you know. And once they get in that, well, they learn how to clean down, then they know I guess like every end of the week they need a, like in school that they bath us every end of the week. That's the way I started out.
In Hay River.
And you get a clean clothes every end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're underwear too. Well, that's the way they start you off, and they keep you going like that. And their business is to teach you every day, as long as the season lasts.
But you were saying, and I guess it's true, that when you come away from it, a lot of that falls away.
Well, you take it. Like when I get back, you don't see that. You might see basin and soap and all, but most of the time you don't worry.
There is no.
You don't want to be breaking away from it. You get so that you just don't bother with it. But over there, I notice, like, if it's rinses now, they go to the toilet. But they go back to the base and flush all day. The way they're supposed to get their clean.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see that their base is clean all the time. They're always throwing their water away and bringing fresh water in that.
You're describing the girls in your house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think most of them are that, but
yeah.
The ones that got their room together. And I think it's very good.
How about the things that they eat? Do they change their taste? That is, do your girls like rabbit, muskrat, and caribou? Do they like that food still, the way...
Oh, yes. Yeah. It seems to be their diet. They eat anything. My family, they eat anything, for that matter. But they don't go too much for a white man, but now they're kind of getting used to it. They're, seems to me that they can live on it. But me, I can't see.
On what, white man's food?
On white man's food, the last 3 years. They're right in there to eat it. You know, as long as it's sweet, they go for it. And I think most of these people are there.
But not you?
Well, no, I go, say, a few days, and then I don't care. But I can live on meat and fish all year round. Like quotes and stuff like that. But I can't go too much sweet stuff. I could go a long way with canned stuff.
Canned meat?
Canned meat and stuff like that, but not too good tuning.
By sweet stuff, you mean pie and cake?
Yeah, anything that's sweet, too sweet. Well, I'd like it to begin with, but I don't care for it after so long. But my family, they get so old, it just seems like they just got to have something that they're all paying for. Well, like today, yesterday, when the fish were boiled, they might not see fish 3 days, you know, and they see they're all in there. And they need it frozen or cooked or boiled or anywhere at all. Oh yeah, they'll cut it up and chop it up, you know, they'll leave it frozen or not.
You mean raw?
Raw.
Oh.
No, the Eskimo way, see, they call it quack.
Quack?
Yeah, that's the Eskimo word, that means frozen fish.
Did the Lushu in the old days eat frozen fish raw?
No, oh, they very bad for the fish raw, but they're not too much on steak fish, frozen fish. But they're frozen fish raw, oh yes.
No, I don't mean roe. You say roe?
Yeah.
Frozen fish roe?
Yeah.
Eggs.
Eggs.
I don't mean the eggs. I mean raw, uncooked.
No.
The Lushu didn't do that. But nowadays the Lushu are doing that.
They're right in there with mucked up and everything.
Go away, really?
Honest. And my family would start off, they'd come back with it, you know, and like the tribes they used to be. They'd get right in there and eat with it, you know. And me, I can't. Just can't do it.
They would eat mucked up?
Oh, fat. Everything. They don't seem get sick with it. Me, I smell of it, you know, and then if I put it in my mouth, well, then I just get so I can't take it.
Would your...
Most of my people can live on it.
By your people, who do you mean?
Well, I mean my relations. I'm mostly on the Indian side. The more I see them, my people, boy, they really love that mutton stuff. And nowadays, they go for frozen fish, like I say, my kids are doing. A lot of time there, I get the fish out and fry it, you know. Clean it up and fry it the way I want it. Well, I chop it up and very soon I see fish in here, fish in there. Just the bones and the plate, and that's what I get out of it. I can't tell them, don't eat.
What do you mean, chop it up?
Well, you know, chop it up in blocks. Pick it up and fry it.
In sections? They will chop it up.
Oh, yeah.
But they won't fry it.
Well, no, at times they fry it, right? But, like I said, a lot of time there, they just start...
Did Edward bring in the fish that you ate today?
We get it from somewhere. He buys it from the natives, you see. And we buy our stuff from somewhere in the native.
No.
Somewhere he's got rabbits, rats, or fish.
Yeah, I know. I buy it from him, too. But I thought maybe when Edward came in from his camp, he brought in some
company. He got nothing. He went all the way 55 miles. He brought not only 8 rats. He's better off coming back from here. And I didn't expect him to come back that soon after he cut his brother. His mother got a bit of stuff and got him out of trouble. It's James.
I guess we're talking about two different people. Yeah. I was talking about Elizabeth's husband.
Well, that guy, he got from here 500.
What's his name?
Henry Cardinal.
Henry Cardinal.
Well, he's coming back yesterday.
He didn't bring in any fish.
No.
He didn't bring in any fresh fish.
No.
No, I know. You told me that he brought in lots of rat. He went back now.
He didn't go there last fall to fish either. He went there. He got a few lash, but they call it length.
I know.
Lash,
yes.
But then he feed it to his dogs, didn't he?
And
that's very good fishing.
So I hear.
Oh, yes. One of the best, most people that's done here.
It's really enjoyed.
Oh yes.
And I guess the liver is very good.
Oh yeah. It's very good for us people. You can fry it or boil it either way. You never, well, us guys don't get fat of it.
You mean the lush or the lush liver?
Lush and lush liver both.
You never get tired of it?
No.
Even if you have it every day?
Yeah.
For a week?
Oh, a year. Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't get tired?
I wouldn't get tired. Yeah. I see guys here, you know, when we used to fish, we used to put fish against the fire. That was... burn the board off the fish, you know, something like that. Well, they say they don't care for that stuff. Go back.
Would you get tired of white fish every day?
Why?
But lush, no. Must be a real good fish.
Well, for me, yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't bring in any country food.
Well, just rat carcasses.
red carcasses, you know.
And he well, not too much of it. Not too much.
And who did you say came back from the...
James, he was up there.
Yes, you said that he was going up to Edwards, to Henry's place.
Well, he just kept 2 nights up there. He came right back. All he got was 3 tracks. I wouldn't go that far for 3 tracks. I'm 69.
Why did he come back so quick?
I don't know. He came back. They've been scared of the Cameroon. First time in the Cameroon in his life.
Is that so? What made him go out the first time in his life?
Well, his brother told him to get out of the house.
I mean,
his mother, somehow.
Because of what happened?
Well, on account of that.
Yeah.
He's going to jail anyway. He figured that. Yeah. He might as well get out and do something. But he started out. But then he didn't know Henry was going to move into town, you see. And he had no way. He went away. Henry left off everything for the plane when he came. And when he got there, well, there was no radio. There was nothing. And he's all alone in this world. Nobody. He never seen that in his life, you see. He's always in a bunch of guys together. He don't travel. No, he don't work. He's not one to do work. I show him everything, but then he's not like me. He don't enjoy his work. And there's a lot of weights in there. Big area there is not trapped. He could have got right in there, and he had the traps. He had over 100 traps.
Henry's.
Henry's, belonged to Henry's. Henry would show him where the traps. But he couldn't work all day. Me, I work all day in Campbell Hill. I come back and I sleep over there. He go that far and give him the 8 reps. And then when he got back here that night, you know, he got a case of beer right away. And I think 4 reps. I skinned the 4 rat and bought it for them. All they enjoyed it, you know. I threw the skins there, no stretcher, you know. So they didn't dry, and then pretty soon they disappeared. So that night again, I see more beer there. The mother would say anything. And then the back of throw it away right now.
Mm-hmm.
That boy's no good to me or her. But she'll be, see, that's my boy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's spoiled. They're no good friend. And then they go around bumping drinks, and then if they get too high, and then I don't want to be freaking out to have it when they can.
What does it mean to spoil a child?
Oh, gee, I wouldn't like to spoil a new one. All they turn out to be is
What do parents do when they spoil a child? How do you spoil a child?
Well, I don't know. The way I see her with that boys, she pet them too much.
Pet them?
Well, she let them go with too many different things. And she don't, that's all right, like, you know. And they get a habit of doing it, and they can do anything with that. She's right there over there with them.
She too permissive?
Oh, yeah. No, I can't say nothing. Can't say anything for that matter. And I'm not well, and I gotta work every day. All they do is just, well, they're just like a dog is tired of waiting for his girl, you know. You gotta, he wait till you come. Well, that's the way they are in my house. And I asked the government for help. They said, you can't do it. Your wife don't agree with you. Well, I don't agree with that. That's what I want. And I feel that I can kick through what I think. She tells me lots of things about me. You know. I don't bring anything in the house, you know, myself. The way she tells me. Tell the woman, you tell Adam, she tells Inspector Crockler everything about me, you know. And the hospital. They look down on me, you know. They figure I'm that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Strong, you know. They don't know me. They never talk to me about it. But then when I got moved over their head, you know. I got stolen everything for them. I got bedrooms for them. I got one dozen hair in their head, you know. They don't have it. Oh, yeah. Got a suitcase about that high, you know, more damn counter strips in there. Cost them nothing, see. They don't even put a cent on that current house, you know. But then she says, for instance, she said, tell you what I'm going to
do. Do you have to pay on that house?
$50 a month.
Every month?
But they cut it down to $25. But I'll be here in time on that again now. I got about $1,900 on it, that's all.
But when...
6 years, man. See, I don't get help.
But when your wife works, doesn't she pay some of the $25?
No. None. She bring food, you know. That food don't last them better. I bring food the same.
But if you lost the house, then she would lose the house too.
Yeah.
Then you'd both have nothing.
That's right.
What would you do then? What would she do then?
Well, if I lost the house, I'd go to my tent frame and get to the stove. I wouldn't live in another one of those. I never would.
Why?
Because I'm not that way. I'd rather work for my own stuff and put up my own place and live there. If I haven't got something, I'd rather work for it. That's the way I've been trained, and that's the way I work for it. It might be hard, but I stick it. When I came here, I had everything. I had 4 canoes, 8 kippers, 20 guns, tents, stoves, everything. I've come across. But all that is run through my own voice. See?
That's a good outfit.
Yeah, it is. That's what I had from that. I built up to my trapping business. I had 2 gas ports one time. I had good houses in the place I had. Yeah. My life here was all burnt down. Somebody else burnt it down. Lose everything. I come here, I start out with 10 stove. I can't go to your house and say, Mr. I'll pay you, but I'm not that way. I set my tent right now, it's dark enough. Let's start off. Well, that's the way I started out here.
You want to be independent?
Well, that's the way I am. I'm trained that way. I'm not there. Most of my brothers, if they want to go someplace, you know, they get a gun from you, or a dog harness from the other guy, or a smoke proof from the other guy, or barrel of gas, or an empty barrel to get the gas, or pull it. I'm not that way. I like to get my own stuff and work for it. Now, all that is lost. I have all that here, lost, just through somebody else borrowing it. And my boys need it here and there, and now I got only 1 canoe left, 22 footer, that's all I had left.
Do you use that in the summertime?
No. I put a cover on it last 2 summers ago. My father was working it. I fixed up that 9-horse kipper, the only one that's left. I ordered parts and fixed it up. And that canoe cover, it was 22-foot canoe, it was made. By the time I got through, it cost me over $100. Well, somebody pushed it out on that can, you know, and then the water was pretty low. I put the kipper on it. I tried it out. It worked very good. Well, I pulled it up, and then somebody pushed it right out and ripped the whole bottom, right in this tunnel. When it floated out and it got into this hole where it's deep, when I got back after work, my canoe was gone, looked around the lake, and there was the nose in that deep hole there. Well, I pulled it out, man. The whole bottom was gone. That's what I got out.
Some kids must have done
that. Well, it's my voice. See? Then jump in it and you take a spark drive and pull it up. That's that.
Where is your engine?
Well, it was on the back of that canoe. It was sunk.
It's ruined.
It's been in there all day, I guess. And anyway, I pulled it up, took the kicker off, I packed it up to the house and threw it against the wall, and I pulled this canoe off the bank and turned it over and still there. It's just possible.
Will you be fixing it this summer?
I will fix it. Well, I would like to fix it. If I they see something that's handy like that, they'll pay with it to the room, and that's that. Well, all the kippers I had, the guns and canoes, I had 4 of them. Well, that John Firth I was telling you about, a year ago last spring, his mother was talking about John bought a canoe. John bought a canoe, see? All of them. She heard us do something, you forever hear it, you see? What happened was, an American bank, the American tourist came down, paddled down the McKinsey River. This was about 6 years ago. He landed on my side on another snag, more than the channel there.
Another what?
The river and the channel. And one day I seen Paddy Rowe and he had a canoe for sale. See? 14-foot canoe for sale, $90.
19?
19. That time I had no cash. And John Furt was working in East Street, see? So I told him, sent him a message. I told him to send me $90. See? Well, he sent me $60. And then I got 30 from the bay going to traffic. And I got acquainted with this guy, you know, he was willing to sell it. So I bought this canoe, see? Well, John Fuck, he destroyed 1 canoe spring before this. See? He took 1 canoe up river and he never brought it back. And all the traps the same way. He never brought nothing back.
That's the summer before you met this American.
Well, anyway, I brought up the goal for my kids. Well, a year ago last spring, I was fixing this thing, couldn't put it with the cover on it. Painted that building. One night, I come so well, of course, she's yapping in my life. Well, nothing, yapping. There's some John Fox come home pretty high, and he started yapping too. So I went right straight to my bed and laid down. I got to go back to work at 12, you see. And I was trying to have a sleep before 12. I was on night shift. So Prison John says, tell him I come. He says, I want to show him something. The master told him, you shut up. Leave him alone. I remember that. Prison, I fell asleep. So in the morning when I got up, opened the door, here was that canoe I put new cover on. The whole bottom was chopped up with axe on it. Chopped the whole bottom, man 31 years old. That's the kind of guy, something, my own voice. Chopped the whole bottom. Well, the mother, if you agree with him, that's okay. See, as long as I'm getting heck, it's all right. And that was the only canoe I had left that I could have fished with, see, beside the big one. So I just left it all together. Just pushed it to the one side and left.
What did you do about fishing then?
Well, I didn't bother getting nets. I didn't bother fishing or anything. I just left it there. Well, my wife, she gets nets and fish. But her boys don't do anything like it.
What did she use for a canoe?
Well, she goes and bump her way through as she grew. Well, she brought fish for them all last summer.
Bought. How did you feel when you saw that canoe all chopped up?
Well, I didn't like it. I pretty much went to the mortgage, but then I just left it again and then. But I figured I'm not going to help you in any way at all, in the way of canoes, you know, or anything like that. But they're still bothering me. And that's the way they act, see, that I was telling you. He'll hit that hot stove, see, overnight while he's cooking for himself. But I'm looking at him. That's the way he turned on. He just killed haywire for a few minutes and then it stops him. That's all right. But then she'd go to the higher officials, you know, and tell them that I'm the one that's no good at that house is good right now. And they can't leave me when I tell them to go, they can't leave.
How did James go up to that to Henry's travel? I forget. Did he go with dogs?
Yeah, with the dogs. I had to bother the harness there.
Then he must have learned how to use dogs when he was a child.
Well, they used them quite a bit here anyway.
What for?
Well, just for running around, you know, Hollywood, most of the time.
Oh, you burn wood?
Well, right after last winter.
Not this winter?
Well, no, I got more stuff since I got into the DPW.
Oh, I see. You're in this house only 1 year?
No, I've been in there since, I don't know, about 5 years now.
But you used to have a wood stove in there?
Yeah. Well, I got oil stove, right, but I don't like it. Very anxious bitching because everything outside is black, see? Everything is black. This oil stove, everything black.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I got a cook stove from the Bruno wood, oil and wood both, but I let them get wood. Most of the time I get it myself. Well, on this damn thing burnt out.
Burnt out.
Yeah, you know, the whole inside is burnt out. It's just nothing.
Must have been old.
Well, then pretty soon she says, everybody got oil stove except me. I got nothing for my kids. She starts that again. Kept going. So I get an oil stove. Well, now I'm just pitching it in because everything's black. I hate that stove. One of these days I'll throw it out for the wood stove there. Like that every day, see? Oh, yeah. Up till now, she hasn't moved it.
Isn't it dearer to use oil than wood?
No, I don't know. I think it is. Well, to feed the dogs is quite a bit too, but then.
That's true, you gotta feed the dogs, yeah.
But then I think it's cheaper to get wood than wood. Because, when you lose your job, you better get oil, you got nothing. Yeah.
Unless you have welfare. Yeah. You were gonna tell me about Clarence Firth. Now let's see. You have John. No, you have Stephen is your brother.
Yeah.
Malcolm, Sarah. These are your brothers and sisters. Now, then your father was Jim, and your father Well, he still has, there's still William living.
Well, my father's brother was Fred Frost, too. William,
and there's Fred living.
Yeah, and Henry. No, Henry's dead.
No, no. And there's Ellen living, and there's Joanne living. That's yes. Your father's sisters. Mm-hmm. Now, Fred is
Clarence's dad.
Mm-hmm. Now, Fred had, first wife was Maggie Martin, mm-hmm. and the second wife was Joanne Greenland.
That's right.
And who was the mother of Clarence?
Maggie.
Maggie.
That was the first one.
I see. So.
Fred had a girl and a boy, and that woman, the girl died. So it was just Clarence living down here.
Clarence. And who did Clarence marry?
Well, he married a regular Indian from Alexandria.
You remember her name?
Annie.
You don't remember what her name was before she married?
Annie.
Annie what, though? Her father?
Last name was Pascal.
Oh, the Eclavic Pascals.
But this Pascal lives up here after his marriage.
Uh-huh.
John Pascal, that's Annie's brother.
John Pascal is Annie's brother. And her father is still living up the East Branch.
His name is Pascal Patisse.
I've heard of that name.
Excuse me, sir, you had me smoke, sir.
No, I don't. I forgot mine, too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Next time I remember. Now, Clarence has two kids, doesn't he?
Well, he's got one of them. That's all.
Oh, I thought I...
I don't know where he got it.
I see. And who was his own...
Well, he's got none of his own.
They're both adopted?
Well, he's just got the one.
Well, I thought he had two.
Well, he's just got the one baby girl. I don't know where he got it.
What's her name?
Donna.
Now, there's another name that I came across that you didn't tell me about. Who is J.C. Firth?
J.C.?
Yeah. I've heard about that name. I found out these names from the voters list, the people who registered to vote. It hangs in the post office in every place, and so I copied all these names.
Well, it could be in the order, there's a lot of firsts here.
Outside of your family, there are a lot of firsts.
But not too many, it's just that Stephen Firth is first.
Stephen Firth is not related?
Well, he's my brother, Stephen Firth.
Yeah.
He's got about 12 kids, and maybe it's one of them.
I mean Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
It might be Jim.
I don't know.
Does Jim have a wife?
No.
This J.C. Firth has a wife and...
John Charlie Firth.
Two children. What made Malcolm... go back into the bush if he used to work in Inuvik as in construction. Why did he go back to trapping and living in the bush?
Well, I don't know what happened. He started off trapping one fall in the bush, built up a place of fish, and he got so he didn't care about the wages anymore. He had to work on himself. But then he got a contract by sitting on the cutting pallets. He does some trapping, he does some fishing. He puts his children in front of a person in school, do you? He doesn't bring them here, it's close to this way, but he ends up over there now. And he makes up quite a bit in front of a person again now. But this last winter, he's mostly on this side of here. You know? Like, since he finished cutting his logs, he hanged around for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back to Clarence. Well, now he's back up at his place again.
Now, could you tell me why he prefers to put his children in McPherson School rather than...
I understand he had no room at the time.
No room here?
He was called here at the time.
Some years ago.
Yeah. So he ended up in McPherson. He got his children to go to school there, and then he kept it up that way. He just kept putting them back every fall.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me another thing? Why do some people stick to the bush, stick to trapping?
Well, in Detective Malcolm's case there from, he ended up liking that work very much. You know, bush life. He rather lived in the bush rather than work for wages.
Mm-hmm.
But in the heat about too, you know, he can't hold a job at all when it comes to duty. You know, he's out there and he's making that mob stuff all the time, and he's his own boss. And he can get up when he wants to. You know, mm-hmm. For instance, like here, well, that's what really got him off anyway. He can't hold a job when it comes to duty.
That's what got him?
Got him away again.
Got him away again.
And he's a hard worker anyway. He's like me. He'll go along and stay along as long as there's work, he'll work. And that's the way he is. And he got so he just can't ask for a job or, well, like logging is different. He's out on his own.
Oh, yes. Sure.
And, well, he got 300 calls, 300 logs alone. But he got close to 1,900 then in a few days. But then he blew it already. Oh, yeah, he made about 6-7 trips to Prada and he had 2 suitcases at the time, you know.
Does he like to live that way?
Well, that's the way he lives.
Does his wife like to live that way?
I don't think so. He has a lot of trouble now since that he's got kids, you know. Driving around with the car and that, you know. He gave himself in trouble back when he was. And he lives that way all the time. I can't see how they can keep it up and enjoy themselves. I go so far and I hate the dirty. I don't like it. But then they seem to love it. They
she drinks it too, the malt.
Yeah. But then not too much, you know. He don't drink it. But him, he's always like that. You know, year round, if he's had a chance to drink, he can drink a lot. Right here, when he came, you know, like at that time, I said he took his dogs to me, I had to take care of his dogs. Well, he would 10 days straight drink. In 10 days' time, he blew a 1,900. One year. But he ended up in the cloud, and I sent a message, I said, get your dogs to lose. He was doing very good, fell. So he came over and got them. And he went back the next day. Well, now I hear he's up at his place.
Would his wife rather live in Inuvik or live in the bush? You say he would rather live in the bush. Yeah. That's the way in which he can get along best. How about his wife?
Well, I think she'd live in Inuvik or a clinic rather than the bush. But she's scared of him. He can't do what she did.
Can you tell me anybody else who would rather live in the bush than in Inuvik?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, we take Kometa for one, John Kometa.
The guy you were telling me about who helped to build Inuvik.
Oh, yes.
He would rather. He's an Indian? No, he's a white man.
He's, you know, this Fred Kometa.
Yes?
Yeah, he's a white man. Well, he's a breed. His mother's an Indian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His mother's an Indian from Portland. Well, he's another one that'll go right in the bush and make his living there. You know? And he'll go to Anderson and trap, oh yeah, which he done off and on, you know. And he'll come back over here and go to Clive and then go back to his old area and stay around there, something like mountain. And maybe go to
them. Now why?
Well, it's just the way they do it. They like it that way. They work hard, you know, and some way they get good like log and stuff like that. And they get jobs too. Right now he's riding out there doing very good, you see, just in love.
Mm-hmm.
All the amount of guys, from, like me, now I end up with nothing. Mm-hmm. And I went haywire and I got so damn much on my hand that I left. Mm-hmm. And I lose my job and all that.
But you
start off from scratch.
You'd rather be in Inuvik than in the bush.
Well, the way I am.
Yeah, because well, you don't feel strong enough to do the hard work.
But then still, if I had a chance of had everything, you know, like I used to have, you know, like the houses in the bush and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go right back right now. I'm fed up. I'm pretty sure I'll manage. I'm still working pretty good. I'm not well, but then I work. I'm not better than lots of guys yet.
Couldn't you get the government to give you an outfit?
Well, I couldn't do that. I understand that you want $50, you can get what you want, say $150. But what is $150 to me? I don't go very far with that. They won't go half of the canoe. And the way I was, I'm the guy that kind of have everything I need. Once I'm settled down, well, I start off, and I don't come back tomorrow. I want to be there 1 year or something. Try to mix them.
You wouldn't be able to buy the traps for $150. And the tent, you have no tent.
I start from, well, I might get tent stove with it and fuel trap. Well, I started that way anyway. But then, I'm not as strong as I used to be, but then still, I'm pretty sure I'll manage. As long as I got tent stove, and say 25 trap, pretty sure I'll manage. I can go and stove that way because it's closer. I'll build up, keep going. But then the way I am, I suppose I might get sick. But it's no use. I was worried about getting this job back today because I'm covered up. But now, arm trouble.
Yeah.
That's a big cry for me.
Well, I think we'll call it. There is no further material on this side of the tape. Turn over to side two.